Let's turn to our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles or your iPads or whatever you have. Let's turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. Okay, I won't do that one anymore. I didn't like the response. The response was like, what? And then finally someone caught on. Oh, yeah, red, yeah. Naked turkey, right? Okay, John 3:16. Is everyone there? Okay, I'm reading from the King James. Please read along with me. Let's read verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at verse 17. Let's read that. For God sent not his Son into the world to do what? But that the world, what? Through him, what's going to happen? Might be saved. I liked it. I liked it. See, if that's all we knew in the gospel, then we can preach the full gospel. That's the full gospel there in those two verses. Amen? Amen. What I like to do, I haven't done this in a while, so please bear with me. You know, I always say this, a confession a day does what? Keep the devil away. Okay? So say this confession with me. Say, I stay steady during these unstable times, regardless of what comes my way. God's way is my way. Every day, I renew my mind to the word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the word of God and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. When the negative issues of life come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord. My heart is established in God's holy word. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of anything I find out of order in my life. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to your power that's at work in my life, I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do you believe that? Then did you receive it? Now it's yours. Amen. Now, I was so excited coming today that I left my jacket home, so this is my sweat. What happened was I got in the car and I looked, said, where's my jacket? And I remembered, it's hanging up in my closet right outside, but sweater works, okay? Let's turn in our Bibles for our text this morning. Turn to the epistle. These are the epistles, 3 John and 2 John. That's right next to the book of Revelation, right? So go all the way back there, almost near the back of the Bible. But we're going to look at 3 John first, okay? And 3 John, well, these letters, these are, when you see the epistles, another name for epistles means letters. So in other words, the Apostle John was writing letters to the churches. And that's what we have in the New Testament. That's why we call them epistles. They're really letters. So John wrote three letters to a particular area, Asia Minor. But let's look at 3 John, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. I'm going to be reading in the King James. You read along with whatever version you have. Let me know when you're ready. Did everyone find 3 John?
Yes.
Okay. So then after we read 3 John, we're going to go next door to 2 John, okay? Really, it's called the third epistle of John, okay? Let's read. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in what? In the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things. Are you seeing this with me?
Yes.
I want you to read with me. Read with me, okay? Let's start from the beginning. verse 1 again. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may what? Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of what? The truth that is in thee. Underline truth. Even as thou does what? Walkest in the truth. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children do what? Walk in what? In truth. Now turn over to the second epistle of John. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4 there as well. Amen? Are you there? Wasn't hard to find, right? Okay. Let's read that. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in what? In the truth. And not only I, but also all they that have known the what? Truth. Verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwells where? In us, and shall be with us forever. Verse 3. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in what? In truth and love. Verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children doing what? Walking in what? Walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. Now, if you notice in those two epistles, what was the primary thing John was talking about? Truth. Love and truth, right? Love and truth. Now, that's very important. But notice what he said here. He rejoiced greatly because of what? The truth, okay? Now, if you notice what he was writing about truth. Now, why would you think he would write letters to churches talking about truth? What can you conclude from that? What? There was a lot of untruths going on, a lot of lies going on. So John was saying he rejoiced in that they did what? Walk in what? The truth, okay? So this morning, what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about walking in the truth, amen? Everyone got that? Now, here's another thing you need to understand. When John wrote these epistles, if you look at 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he wrote these epistles because, you know, the gospel came forward. When he wrote these, it was like, let's think of it this way. Jesus crucified, ascended. Jesus already ascended about, let's say about maybe 40 years after his ascension, and the church was growing, the early church, and John was writing letters. Remember, he was in exile, so he wrote letters. And what was happening was he was hearing reports about error. See, it's no different then as today. Say this with me. Say, things change, but people are the same. So just like we are here, and we're coming here to hear what? The truth. Well, there's a lot of error out there, okay? So what John was addressing was error. Now, there were several types of things going on during this time, and as we go into the study, we're going to find out the things that he was addressing, because there were a lot of things going on. Like, for example, in the book of Acts, if you turn to Acts, the 15th chapter, don't turn there, but just make note of this. In the onset of the early church, the gospel was going forward. The message of truth was going forward. But then in the 15th chapter, it said these brothers came down from another place and said, hey, listen, unless you observe the law and be circumcised, you're not saved. Now, is that true? No. See, so they were called Judaizers. So there were groups of people constantly coming around saying, you got to do this in order to be saved. You got to do this in order to be a Christian. You know, it didn't change today. We got a bunch of people today. They'll go around telling you, you got to do this in order to, quote unquote, their definition of being saved. But what does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world that he gave, right? All we got to do is what? Believe. So if you believe, you receive, right? Isn't that simple? But you see, things have never changed. Things, you know, things don't change too much. I mean, they dress it up a little bit, but there were people going around calling themselves the Judaizers, okay? Then there was another group that went around, and we can see vestiges of it today, where some of them were saying, well, you know, when Jesus came and when he wrote, when you got, you see in the Gospels what he did, he really was doing things cryptographically, and you know, there's a message that only certain people can know. No, I'm serious. This is what was happening here. You ever heard people say stuff like that? Or you turn on the TV and they talk about secret messages and all this. You know, well, see, here's what happened. There were groups of people going around with that kind of thought. And their thought was, in order to be saved, it was based on your intellect. So the smarter you were, according to them, okay? And they were called Gnostics. That was Gnosticism. So these were things that were prevalent during John's time. That's why John said in the Epistle of John, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, what happens? We have what? Fellowship with one another. Okay? That's why he wrote that. He didn't write that because it sounded nice and we sing it as a song. But it meant something. It meant as he's in the light, so are we in the light. But now we're talking about truth, right? So John is saying to the churches there, he's saying that he was excited that they were walking in truth. Now, one of the words for truth, and I'm just going to cut to the chase here. The one word we're going to look at in the Greek is a word called aletheia, okay? When we look at the word truth in the passages that we're going to be looking at this morning. And really what it means reality lying at the basis of an appearance, okay? Another definition says the manifested, veritable essence of a matter. Now, I know that sounds old. What does that mean? But as we go on this lesson, you're going to see what it means, okay? Now, dictionary.com says this about truth. It says the true or actual state of a matter, okay? Another one says conformity with fact or reality, okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to look at what is truth, okay? Now, to start off on our journey, the first place we got to go is we're going to go in stages here. The first area we're going to look at is truth can only be found in the Word of God. Say that with me. Say truth can only be found in the Word of God. So in other words, the New York Post is not going to give you the truth. CNN is not going to give you the truth. Fox News is not going to give you the truth. You name them. They're not going to give you the truth. Truth only comes from where? The Word of God. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 17. Okay? John's Gospel, chapter 17. And this is an area where Jesus was praying. We call it his intercessory high priest prayer, when Jesus was praying for not only his apostles and disciples, but for us. But look at what he says in verse 17. He says, sanctify them through what? Thy truth. And what does he say? Thy word is truth. So in other words, the word of God is truth. So if you want to look for truth, where are you going to look? You're going to look in the Bible, the word of God. Now turn back to 3 John. Now listen to this. I got this from the Voice translation. Listen to what he says in the Voice. He says, I, the elder to Gaius, who is much loved by all and loved in truth by me, my beloved friend, I pray that everything is going well for you and that your body is as healthy as your soul is prosperous. I was thrilled when the brothers and sisters came and told me stories of your faithfulness as you continue to walk in the truth. See, so in other words, we need to continually do what? Walk in the truth. Now, how are we going to walk in the truth? By the word of God. So every time we do what the word of God says, we're walking in truth. Because I know what's happening right now. What happens is this. Some of us, when we think about, you know, be truthful. There was a show, remember years ago? How many remember that TV show a long time ago? Some of us old people remembered it. Remember To Tell the Truth? Yeah. Right? And what happened in that show? Three people would come on, three contestants, and they would all say something, and it was a panel of people that had to ask them some questions, right? And then at the end of everything, right, while they're asking all these questions, they're trying to figure out who the real person is, right? Like, who's the milkman, right? Three people up there, and they're talking. So then the guy says, so-and-so, what does he say, stand right up or something? He always said this same line. What was it? Will the real so-and-so please stand up? And then everyone looks, and the real one comes up, and that's how the game show was. But this is a show a long time ago. But here's the thing. I believe this. God is asking the church, will the real church please stand up? Because we got a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening. And let's face it, they're happening because the minute you don't walk in the truth, guess what you're going to embrace? Error, okay? So now we know that the word of God brings us truth, right? So he says here, continue to walk in the truth, right? Now, 2 John in the voice, let me read that. He says, verse 2, he says, the truth which lives faithfully within all of us and will be with us for all eternity. Did you know that? That the truth is in you. You know how it's in you? You know how it got in you? How did it get in you? By the word of God, accepting Jesus Christ, right? But how does the truth remain in us? Stay tuned. Okay, you got ahead of me. There you go. But that's true. Ding. But here's what I want you to see, right? Look at what it says. It says, the truth which lives faithfully within all of us will be with us for all eternity. Now, here's what happens sometimes with some of us, because we haven't embraced the truth. You think of your life, you think about what you did, and you say, man, I wasn't always truthful. How many of you grew up always being truthful and always told the truth? Okay. How many of you consider yourself right now truthful? No, the hands went up a little slow. But that's good. That's good. The hands went up a little slow because here's what happened. The hands went up a little slow for one reason only. You were basing it on yourself. You were basing it on your past results of what you had to do. Like when you called in the job and say, listen, I'm calling in sick. And then they say, okay, good. Okay, you hang up the phone and you go out on the golf course. Right? Right? So you don't feel like you were telling the truth, right? Or some of you, remember when we were growing up, something fell and something dropped in the kitchen and your mother shouted out, who broke that? There you go. See, Sharon said that real quick, not me. She blamed it on Chuck, you know? But see, here's what happens. When we base the truth on ourselves, there was a hesitancy. But our truth that's in us is not based on us. It's based on the word of God. The Bible calls the word of God the incorruptible seed. So when you've accepted Jesus Christ, truth came in you. Truth has been deposited. Every time you open your Bible and read the Bible, you're imparting what? Truth. And now there's another step we have to do. We have to take that which was in us, that which we have seen, and we have to do what? Put it in action. And that's what John was commending Gaius. He says, I commend you for your faithfulness to do what? Walk in the truth. Amen. Now let's look at something else here, okay? Turn to John, Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 32. And this is an interesting verse of scripture. Jesus is talking about, he was talking to the Pharisees. No, not the Pharisees. He was talking to the multitudes, right? But listen to what he says here. He says in verse 32, are you there? Everyone there? Okay, read it with me. And ye shall know what? The truth. And the truth shall do what? Make you free. Now, how many of you always heard this phrase, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free? How many of you heard that? And we all used to say that, right? But now here's the interesting thing. This is interesting. I never really particularly liked that word, set you free, you know. But when I looked in the other translations of the Bible, almost all the other translations say set free, not make free. But I like the King James because it says, Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. Now look at this one in the Message. This is the only one that I saw in the Message that said the same thing. So therefore, that set free, I'll let it go at this time. But I like make free. I like to be made, not set. You know, set means somebody had something to do with it, and I can either do it or not. But if I'm made something, It sounds better to me. I don't know. To each his own. But look at John. Listen to this in John chapter 8, verse 32 in the Message. Then Jesus returned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him, right? He says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. So he's saying the same thing to us, right? If we stick with this, right? If we stick with the word of God and living out what he tells us, right? You are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. So we're free by what? By the truth. Say that. Say the truth of God's word has freed me. And here's an example. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, before I accepted him, I was what? A sinner. But when I embraced the truth that Jesus Christ died for me and for my sins, and when I believed that and received that, what have I become? I become free. So you're free. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're free. Amen. Now let's look at another area. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 14. So we know that truth can only be found where? In the word of God. But now truth is a person. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. Are you there? Okay, let's read that. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, who is it talking to? Who's John referring to there? So Jesus, the word was what? Made flesh and dwelt among us. And let's keep on going. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and what else? And truth. So Jesus, the word of God, is full of what? Grace and what else? So Jesus, the Son of God, is truth, right? So when we embrace what Jesus is saying, Jesus is truth personified. Everyone got that? Now turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in his discourse. But notice what Jesus says here in John's Gospel chapter 3, verse 21. He says, but he that doeth truth cometh to what? The light, and his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. So Jesus is saying, everyone that does truth comes to what? The light. Okay? So now, you're still in John. Move over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is making a proclamation here, right? In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says unto them, he says, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is what? The way. What else? The truth. And what else? The life. Okay? Now look at this. Let me read that in the Amplified. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the only way to God. You got that? You know, you hear people say, oh, there's many ways to God, right? You ever heard that phrase? Well, is that true? How do we know it's not true? It's not in the word of God. See, that's how we know. See, that's how you can find out error. So you don't have to argue with people. If somebody wants to believe there's 1,000 lights and if you find the end of the rainbow, God's at the end of it. You know, if they want to believe that, that's, you know, I don't got to argue with them. But we know that's what? Not true. Right? Jesus says here, he says, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So in other words, when we walk in the word of God and use Jesus as our example, we're doing what? We're walking in what? In truth, okay? Now, here's another area I want you to think about. So the word of God is truth, right? The person of Jesus is truth. But now let's look at another area. There's another area. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And while you're turning, I want to say this. Walking in the counsel of the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in truth. Amen. Let me say that again. Walking in the counsel of the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in truth. Amen? Are you there now at John chapter 14? Now, Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he says. Verse 17, I'm sorry. Chapter 14, verse 17. Are you ready? Read it with me. Even the Spirit of what? Of truth. Keep on going. Whom the world cannot receive. Now hold it right there. I know, how many of you, I've been to college. How many of you go to college, universities of higher learning? Wave your hand like this. And remember, we're all in pursuit of truth, right? Remember, knowledge and truth, right? I hate to break it to you, but according to the Bible, the Spirit of truth, the world can't receive. So they have a truth, not the truth. There's a difference between the two, okay? But let's keep on going here. I don't want to digress. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, why? Because it seeth him not, and now also neither knoweth him. See, the world, I can't go to the world and explain to them the Holy Ghost. Because they'll look at you, what? Oh, you mean Casper? The friendly ghost, right? See, the world can't understand the Holy Ghost. So don't try to explain it to them. The world can see his demonstrations, but they can't understand him like it says here, right? Whom the world cannot see, right? Or know him, right? Doesn't see him or know him. But it doesn't stop there. Keep on reading. Who knows him? Look at your Bible. But ye know him. Who do we know? We know who? We know the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, didn't you know that you could know the Holy Spirit? All right. And then keep singing, getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Okay. I'm only kidding. Let's keep on going. But you know him. Why? For he does what? He does what? What's another word for dwell? So the Holy Spirit lives where? Within us. I like what Brother Hagin said. He said, the Holy Ghost is dwelling in us. He's not hitchhiking a ride through life. He's not in us just to hitchhike through life. He's in there to do what? To help us. And what's he going to do? He's going to lead us into what? All truth. Okay, this is my A students came here today. I'm telling you, listen to this. This is outstanding. Now, let me read the God's Word translation. God's Word translation says about John 14, 17, that helper is the Spirit of truth. So in other words, if you ever need help, you have a great helper where? In you. I'm not talking about hamburger helper either. We're talking about Holy Ghost helper, right? And he's where? In us. The world cannot accept him because it doesn't see or know him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. So in other words, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is with us because he's what? In us. Now turn to John chapter 15, okay? John chapter 15, Jesus is still speaking, right? He says, but when the Comforter is come, what's another name for the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. So when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, what else is he referred to? Even what? Look at your Bible. Even what? Everyone looking at their Bible? No, John chapter 15, I'm sorry. John chapter 15, verse 26. Let me wind this back. Okay, I'm excited. Okay? Is everyone there now? Let's read it together. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even what? The Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall do what? Testify of me. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of what? Truth. Now, what is he going to tell us? Truth. But who is he going to reveal? Jesus. The Father sent him. Jesus prayed that the Father would send him. The Holy Spirit came on what day? The day of Pentecost, right? So he's here now. He hasn't left. He's here right now, okay? And he's here to testify of Jesus. Now, in that same verse, let me read it in the Living Bible. He says, but I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the source of all truth. He will come to you from the Father and will tell you all about me. Now, you're still in John. Turn to John 16, John chapter 16, verse 13. Everyone there? Okay, read it with me. Howbeit, when he, who?
Spirit of truth.
Is come. What's he going to do? Now hold it right there. Now how many of us in life, and I've been guilty of this myself, how many times we've been confronted with situations and circumstances and you really didn't know what to do and you really wanted, I need to hear from God on this. I really need to hear from God. How many of you have been in that situation? But did you know that the Holy Ghost is standing right there saying, I'm going to tell you if you let me lead. See, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit, we always say this when we minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people. We say that the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. So the Holy Ghost is not going to force himself on you to make you pray. The Holy Spirit is not going to force himself on you to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is standing there ready for you to, when you want him, he's ready. He's ready to go. So he's there working with us. Okay, you got that? So here, what we're seeing, right, as it looks here, the Comforter, he is the Spirit of truth. So if we need truth, ask the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, you see something happening. What's the truth behind that? You know, and he'll tell you, but we just got to listen. Amen? Now, let me read that same verse in the Message, okay? No, we didn't finish. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you into what? All truth. Keep on reading. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you what? Things to come. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is not going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about who? Jesus. He's only going to say the things he hears. So who do you think he's listening to? He's listening to the Father. He's listening to Jesus. That's how we, when we get messages in our services, you know, when someone has a tongue, an interpretation, that's how we receive them, because the Holy Spirit speaks to that person. That person operates in that gift, and then whether it's a tongue, and then there's an interpretation that follows it, that person, would, directed by the Spirit, would interpret it. Or sometimes it's just prophecy or exhortation, okay? Like this morning was exhortation. Amen? Now, let's look at this in John 16 in the Message. He says it this way. He says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. That's what Jesus is saying. But when the friend comes, I like that. Is the Holy Spirit your friend? He's a part of the Godhead, but he can be a friend. Amen? The Spirit of truth. He will take you by the hand. I like this. He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I have done and said. Jesus is speaking. He says, he will honor me. He will take from me and deliver to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I said, he takes from me and delivers to you. So that's what the Spirit of God does, right? So in other words, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is going to lead us in all truth. Okay, so now you're getting a better picture? But now here's something that we talked about earlier, but let me just mention it here again. The love of God is very important when it comes to walking in truth. Did you know that? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, this is Paul outlining we call it the chapter of love, right? And in King James, it says charity, but he's talking about love. But look at verse 6. I just want to focus in on that. He said, he's referring to love now. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in what? In the truth. So in other words, you know, how can I put this? The scripture does say it. We're to speak the truth in what? In love, okay? We're going to see that scripture later. Because, see, sometimes some people can speak the truth, but it's not coupled with love. And sometimes you can speak the truth like, man, I'm just saying as an example, wow, man, he came in with those shoes. I walk up to him and says, man, you came in with those color shoes. It doesn't match your suit, which it does. Everything matches. But I'm just saying, but the point is that sometimes people can speak the truth about something, but it's not coupled with love. Did I think about how we felt?
Right.
Did you think about how that person felt?
Right.
You think about the results of you telling the truth. See, sometimes the truth is always the truth. But like the Bible says, speaking the truth in what? In love. I like to say it this way, speaking the truth coupled with love. Amen? So that's very important. So love and truth go together. Amen? Would you agree? Now, there's benefits to walking in the truth. Walking in the truth, like we said earlier, it exposes biblical error. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking about walking in the truth. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Are you there? Okay, let's read that together. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of what? Of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So in other words, Paul is telling them here, he says, we've renounced. In other words, we called out those hidden things. You know, truth exposes lies. It exposes things that are false, right? Dishonesty, walking in craftiness. Now, I like how he says here, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See, some people, let's put it this way, I don't want to say some. There are a few, I'll just put it that way. There are a few that, because they're not walking in the truth, will handle the word of God deceitfully. And you know how you can tell? For their own gain. That's how you can always tell. When somebody's doing something for their own gain, it's deceitfully. But it's not for the benefit of others. Amen? Now, walking in the truth empowers us. Did you know that? Walking in God's truth empowers us. The truth of God's word. Now, think about it this way. I'm going to make a statement. Truth will always override facts. Let me say that again. Truth will always override facts. Say that with me. Say truth will always override facts. Let me give you an example. There's a fact. This person is experiencing symptoms in their body. You know, it could be diabetes. It could be cancer. It could be arthritis. That's a fact, right? But now, what's the truth? Jesus himself bore our infirmities. So the truth is, see, a fact could be I could have some symptoms in my body. But the truth is, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Isaiah 53, 5, and Matthew 18, 17. Himself, Jesus, bore my infirmities. And by his stripes, I'm what? Healed. So the truth is what? The word of God. The fact is the symptom. Now, truth will always override facts. So if you're a believer, you're here this morning, and you have symptoms in your body that the doctors diagnose and you're experiencing, that's a fact. But the truth is, Isaiah 53, 5, Matthew 8, 17, and 2 Peter 2, 24. And that truth coming out of what? Your mouth. You saying, by his stripes, by the stripes Jesus bore on Calvary, I'm healed and whole. Amen? Now, here's another fact. Another fact is, you could be experiencing financial hardship right now. That's a fact, right? You could be laid off. You could be facing foreclosure. You could be facing all these types of things. That's a fact, right? But now, what's the truth? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. See, here's what we're saying. There may be some facts that you're being confronted with, but you face your facts with the truth. You got that? Say that with me. Say, I face my facts with the truth. The truth is the word of God. So now whatever fact that you're being confronted with, I don't know, there's others, but you always face them. Like it could be a fact, you could be experiencing marital difficulties, right? That's a fact, right? But the truth is what? The word of God. The fact is your children could be acting crazy. I had that happen. My kids growing up acting crazy, right? Acting like they were buck wild, right? That was a fact. But the truth was Psalm 1:3. My children will be like trees planted by the rivers of living water. Their leaf will not wither, and whatsoever their hands do shall prosper. I was saying that while they were acting a jack. No, I'm saying that was a fact. But you see, the truth overrode that. So now all three of them are like trees planted by the river of living water. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not cast itself before its time. And whatever they put their hands to do shall prosper. Because what did I do? I took the facts and I replaced it with the truth. So we can, so truth overrides facts. Do you believe that? You agree with that? Okay, now let's look at something that Paul said. So in other words, walking in the truth should be our benchmark, okay, for our godly lifestyle. Amen? You agree? Now look at what Paul said to the church in Galatia. Turn there right now. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. And for time's sake, what Paul was addressing in Galatia was the church in Galatia started out in the spirit. They started out right, but then they got turned upside down. Okay, we're going to see how they got turned upside down. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, he turned them right side up. Are you there? Okay, let's read verse 14. He says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to what?
The truth.
Of what? Of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not do as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, what Paul was saying was, you know, he went there. It's like me coming here, right? I'm coming here to see you. And I know this church is on fire and you guys got it going, right? And I come in and I see you're doing some strange things. And I see my wife with you joining in on it. So he was really addressing Peter. He said, Peter, what are you doing? I mean, don't you see what's happening here? Okay, but let's keep on going. Galatians chapter 3. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Are you there? Read what he says. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not do what?
Obey
the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Remember I talked about the Acts, the Judaizers? Judaizers came into Galatia and said, hey man, you got to obey the law. And when Paul came there, he saw Peter doing some strange things. He said, wait a minute, who did this to you? And how did they get off track? How did the church in Galatia get off track? By not obeying what?
Truth.
So I got news for you this morning. You and I can get off track if we don't obey what? The truth. Okay, let's keep on going. Look at, and Paul sums it up by saying this. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So in other words, see, some people don't want to hear the truth. Let's face facts. Some people don't want to hear the truth, so you just got to keep on, you got to sail on, okay? But now let's look at what Paul said to the church in Ephesus. Turn to Ephesus, I mean Ephesians rather. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Okay? Are you there now? Let's read it. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard what? The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you did what? Believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. They heard what in Ephesus? They heard the truth. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, 15. We just talked about this. Ephesians 4, 15, it says, Paul is saying, but speaking the truth in what? In love, may what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So in other words, when we speak the truth in love and when we receive the truth in love, you know what's really happening? It's the key to spiritual growth. So if you want to grow, right, spiritually, you need to speak the word, speaking the truth in love. You need to receive the truth in love. Amen? Now look at another area, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul is commending the church in Ephesus. Remember the full armor of God? He tells them to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? With truth. You know, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on what? the breastplate of righteousness. So in other words, what Paul was commending the church, he was commending the church in Ephesus, right? That they received the truth, they obeyed the truth. Now let's look at another church. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Okay? Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. He's saying to the church in Colossae, he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where you heard before in the word of what? Word of the truth of the gospel." Okay? Now look at Thessalonians, okay? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Because I'm trying to show you how Paul was writing these letters and he was commending some on truth and he was helping them to say this, how they can walk in the truth and how we can walk in the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says this, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as what? But as it is in what? In the truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." So they received the word of God, and they received the truth. Amen? So every time you receive the word of God, you're receiving the truth, okay? Now, however, Paul writes to them, the world, who do not have the truth. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, and I think I'll close here. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, verse 10 and 13. Now, Paul is referring to here, he's talking to the church in Thessalonica, but he's talking about the ungodly, okay? And let's pick it up. He says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished, because they received not," what? "The love of the truth." Did you see that? The world doesn't love the truth. So that's why they were deceived, right? "That they might be saved." And look at verse 11. "For this cause, God shall send among them strong delusions, that they should believe," what? "A lie. And that they might be damned who believed," what? "Not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the very beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of," what? "The Spirit and belief of," what? "Of the truth." Okay? So say this with me. Say, "I love the truth."
I love the truth.
Now, we know in 1 Timothy, don't turn there, but in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says this. He says, "For God wills that no man be lost, but that all be saved," and then what happened? "And come into," what? "The knowledge of the truth." So it's always God. See, God's will is that no one would be lost. See, if God had it his way, everyone would be saved. But God doesn't have it his way, because he gave each and every one of us a choice. We have a choice this morning to accept Jesus Christ, to accept the truth of God's word. And what is the truth? If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and if you confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved.